Well, welcome to break eight. Please understand the fact that these are not devotionals. They're not meant to be devotionals. These are a break. But there still is short, hopefully, short study and commentary, whatever, as I see fit to comment on. But we are going to be taking these little mini-sermon breaks, mini-mini-sermon breaks, as the days wear on here. Today, let's look at Veterans Day. This is a special day, and it should be. I do not want to come across as demeaning whatsoever any veterans out there. I've been watching some videos on the wars, on the things that have taken place, and I have learned more and more, much more than I've ever been taught, which is sad for the kids today because they aren't being taught anything about those things as their grandpas and grandmas and dads have been through. But as I've learned more and more about this, you know, supposed truth of what really went on, read books about this and that, whatever, actually, I'm becoming more and more aware of what's going on today regarding the truth of life, that the political scene, the countries, the leaders, their teachings, their doctrines, or whatever. And it just helps me understand more of what's going on today, because you should learn from history, and I think I'm just finally starting to learn from history that, unfortunately, we don't learn from history. But we certainly can see where this is all headed. Definitely, I can't remember what this generation, the war generation, was called, but it was a great generation. They've been through some unimaginable horrors of life and of war, unbelievable life that those folks had to live. They've been through so much. I tell my students at school, and we do our little veterans program and our songs, I say, you look at those men and those ladies that were in war. We have a bombardier pilot that was in the Battle of the Bulge, still here. We have somebody that was part of the Pearl Harbor scene. And these kids don't know what these men have seen. And then you've got the Iraq veterans and the Vietnam veterans. We have all these people here that were serving in the military. So yes, they've been through a lot. But I want to also make a comment on something else that I see with these folks. And that is, this is their thinking when it comes to when they die. And they basically, in these words, say to themselves, God spared me through those wars, so I know I am of His. I know He is my God, and I will be with Him when I finally die. I have my faith, and it is a strong faith, and it is because of what they've been through in their wars. And yes, they love America, the old America. They know something's going on, and it's terrible. They are often good people, loving, caring grandpas and grandmas, you know, that type of thing. Even not as many grandmas, but they were still part of the war era, but the grandpas that served. And yet we also know in some of those wars there's a bitterness, understandable, that they would have a bitterness from the Korean War and the Vietnam War, those things. We have dads today that understand the political wars, the Iraq and that sort of a thing. But they have a pride. And they have a pride that is based on a false understanding. And they have bought into religion, the goodness of religion. And whether it be a Catholic or a Lutheran or a Jehovah Witness or Seventh-day Adventist or Mormon or even of the various Baptist churches, teachings, whatever, including the Bible Believer Baptists, all these people today, they all call themselves Christians. Didn't used to be that way, but they all call themselves Christians. And the younger ones, say the born-againers, they call themselves believers. But there's a false Christianity that is amongst the veterans, and that's sad. That's a sad thing to think that they think the way they do. Again, they've been through horrors, and they lived through them. Why wouldn't anybody ask themselves, why would God allow me to live? Why would God take these other people out? Well, the question, did God take those other people out? I don't believe God took them out. This is a war that came about politically. It was a war that helped destroy America, even though they won the war. And like I said before, I do believe that the devil is using America to finance the Antichrist and to design the system of the Antichrist. And so America has its purpose, but it isn't what these guys were fighting for. They were fighting for a supposed freedom, and they were fighting for the flag, no doubt about that. But they have fallen into a false religion. Now we look to Acts chapter 11, and we go to verse 18, for example. And this is where they were first called Christians. This is where the term Christian came about. Catholics are not Christians. Lutherans are not Christians. JWs are not Christians. Mormon are not Christians. Baptists, are they Christian? The born-again crowd, are they Christians? What is a Christian? Well, Acts chapter 11. And you really would want to read the context of all this that's taken place in Acts chapter 11. Obviously, this is Paul's early ministry dealing with the Jews. And you'll see my point here today and in tomorrow's break. Acts chapter 11, verse 18, we'll pick it up there, though. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, "Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, remember Stephen's story there, traveled as far as Phenice and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians. There we go. Now some things are changing here, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So we see that this is where Christianity, this is where the term Christian came about. They want to go up to verse 21 and say that a great number believed. It doesn't call them believers. It said they believed. What did they believe? They believed in Christ, Christians. That's where that came from. Now, of course, during all these breaks, you folks realize I can say what I can say, and I can look to this stuff as final authoritative history because I seek the Scriptures, I seek the truth from Scriptures, and the Scriptures, I believe without a doubt, is an RDKJ1611B. What is that? That is a rightly divided King James 1611 Bible. So, when I bring that up, it's because in 1 Corinthians 13, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13 in your Bible here, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, things made a massive change historically because we know what Paul taught. We know what was going on in those days, but they're different now. I believe this is when the big change happened, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease, and whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Or I should say, and we prophesy in part. So there was a time when prophecies and tongues and this knowledge from God directly to these people, it was all done in part. Now, but verse 10, but when that which is perfect is come, this is a future thing Paul was talking about. When this future thing takes place, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part, and that was the knowledge directly from God, tongues and prophecies, those things will be done away. So when that King James Bible came along, oh, you'd believe this is referring to Jesus Christ, this is not referring to a King James Bible? Well, if that's the case, then if we're still waiting for Jesus to come, because remember, this Jesus had already come the first time. God manifests himself in the flesh. That's already taken place. So if you believe that that's the coming of Jesus again in the second coming, well, then you can forget about all of what Paul taught, and you can forget about the fact that these things have ceased because they still exist. Well, what still exists? Okay, prophecies, tongues, and knowledge directly from God. And yes, that's true. People believe that. These churches all believe that. These pastors, they all believe that. They don't believe the King James Bible was that which is perfect. And if everybody's waiting for all these things to take place for Jesus to come, then all these other things are still happening. And throw out Paul. Let's see. They do. They do throw out Paul. They don't teach the teachings of the risen Savior, because the teachings of the risen Savior tell Paul to tell us that there's going to come a time when that which is perfect, meaning completed, finished, we have the completed, perfect Word of God today. And when that thing came about in 1611, then all these things in verse 8, they were done away, gone, kaputzed. Baptism is no longer necessary, physical. Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit falling on people, The laying on of hands, the receiving the Spirit of God through communion, the calling of preachers, etc., etc. All those things, they're done. There was a time for that stuff. And the King James Bible came along, those things were done away. Is it any wonder why the devil hates this King James Bible so much? Do you wonder why pastors hate this King James Bible so much? They don't hate any other Bible version. They hate this one. And it's odd that the veterans were fighting in a time when this King James Bible was the dominating Bible, if not the only Bible. There were some other, the RSV and some of those other first ones that came out, but people just kind of, poo-pooed them. That was not a big deal. But now, today, from those eras, these folks, these veterans, families of veterans, and these people on this Veterans Day commentary here, these religious Christians, they follow what people call Judeo-Christianity. A little bit of Jews, a little bit of Christian. They got the works of the Jews and the grace of the Christians. Well, they get that from the Great Commission, and that's Jewish teachings. The Gospels were taught to the Jews. Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Jude, those are all written to Jews during the tribulation. Today it will be during the tribulation, but in those days it was all done to the Jews, Judeo-Christianity. And that was all taught by the apostles, the 12 apostles, the famous 12 apostles. But what we're supposed to be following, since that 1 Corinthians 13 thing took place, all those other things are done away. We look to Paul's teachings, to the Gentile, and it really ought to be called something like the Gentilian Christianity, Judeo-Christianity, or Gentilian Christianity. I go with Gentilian, and it's about the Greater Commission, and that's Acts chapter 13. We see in Acts chapter 13, this is the Greater Commission, as I call it, not the Great Commission, which is Jewish. We look at the Gentilian Christianity, and this commission is in Acts chapter 13. We're looking at verse 44, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Marvelous history in Acts, by the way. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. See, and there's what happens to people. People hate America because they're envious of America. People hate the King James Bible because they're envious of that King James. They'll never admit it. But the simplicity and the peace and the assurance that comes from a rightly divided King James Bible, they don't get it from their Bible. They go to their church, they know they don't have that kind of peace and assurance from their church. People are mad at Jesus because of envy. So this is what's taking place. They were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, which we understand in early Acts. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And here's the Greater Commission. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And that's the commission that I wish the veterans would get a hold of. They're not going to go to heaven because they survived the war. They're not going to go to heaven because they're a veteran. And that's a sad commentary when you meet these people and you respect them for what they've been through, but they've got a false belief of where they're headed. Now we have a generation today. We look to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We got generations today, and the Bible's clear about what's going on. Now we have people who are not consenting to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, which, by the way, is only taught by Paul. Now we have generations who are proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. So sad. Supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. That's his command to us. So that is where we end up with our break this morning, or this evening, or this afternoon, is the veteran's message is, you've got religion. You don't have the truth, and you get the truth from a King James rightly divided Bible. That which is perfect has come. It's here. It can be put in your hands. You can get out of the Judeo-Christianity religion, and you can get into the truth, which my own term of the Greater Commission is what I would call the Gentilian Christianity, based on teachings to the Gentiles. Let Christ's death take care of your future eternal life. don't count on the fact that because you didn't die in a war that you have eternal life. That would be an eternal mistake.